listening to A Wondrous Typo Vision Fair. What are we doing that on a Wednesday? Well, because Pastor Mark Smith was on assignment yesterday, so we moved the hymn to Wednesday, and that's what we're going to be looking at, O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair. And Pastor Smith, did you have a good assignment?
Yes, very good meeting, very helpful, very interesting meeting. But can you believe it? We're 1 week away from Lent, Ash Wednesday, a week from today.
Oh, Ash Wednesday, oh.
Think of that. I mean, Lent comes early this year, and I'm ready for it. I really am.
You're ready? And your theme?
The Lord's Prayer.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Are you borrowing that from somebody, or was that part of a thing you made up yourself?
It's basically something that I put together myself years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to be preaching a couple of places there. One of them is following the theme of Job.
Oh, huh?
Yeah, that should be interesting, especially...
Everything's interesting for you, Tom.
Oh, I know, yes. Even you're interesting.
Did you make it to the Mardi Gras yet?
What Mardi Gras? Isn't that next week?
I don't know. Isn't it starting these days? Somebody told me years ago that St. Louis has the biggest Mardi Gras next to New Orleans. Can you believe that?
No.
I haven't been to it myself.
I don't even know. Where is it?
It's down, down in the Soulard area?
Oh, really? No. The only thing I look forward to is around Thanksgiving, eggnog. They sell that. And then for Mardi Gras, what do they sell?
Eggnog.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You love eggnog.
And what's Mardi Gras, the food?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, hot cross buns.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Man.
Hot cross buns.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know why they don't do them all year. But there's certain foods that only come out seasonal. But, oh, Wondrous Type, oh, Vision Fair.
That's a good hymn. That was a different melody than what I'm used to for this hymn. It was a good one, too. I like that one also.
Well, you go ahead and read the first stanza.
Yes. This is a Transfiguration hymn. Oh, Wondrous Type, oh, Vision Fair, of glory that the church may share with which Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows.
Okay. I took a look at that, and I don't know if you heard my promo, but I don't know when I first read it. What does the word type mean?
Type is, it's like a foreshadowing.
A foreshadowing?
Yes. Like the crossing of Israel through the Red Sea is a type, a foreshadowing of the church being saved through baptism.
Okay, that refers to a historical act. That's a foreshadowing of a future act.
Right, right.
But who are we referring to in O Wondrous Type?
Well, we're talking about his transfiguration.
But what is that a type of?
Well, that's a type of our own. Our own transfiguration, if you will, of the church. Of all
church
who believe in him, when we're changed, when this mortal put on
immortality. You're talking about Judgment Day, then.
Yeah, yes. That's the type that I take it to indicate.
Well, I looked it up. The Greek word is pretty hard to remember. Typos.
Okay.
T-U-P-O-S.
All right.
That's the type. It occurs 16 times in the Greek.
In the New Testament.
Yes. Well, obviously, it's Greek.
Well, there are other books that are written in Greek, you know.
Yes.
Okay. 16 times in the New Testament, that word typos.
Yes. And it's got about 8 translations. But the two I think that are most important, in Titus and Hebrews, the King James refers to it as a pattern. And I think that's what your...
pattern. Uh-huh.
That Jesus is a pattern that we're going to go through,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. There are 7 times the King James translates the same word as example, so that Jesus can be an example for us. It also has the meaning, for example, when Jesus went down with his parents to Egypt, what's the Bible verse that's quoted?
Out of Egypt I have called my son.
And so that's a type, too. Right. But that's pretty good. I had to look it up because I wasn't quite sure. Oh, wondrous type. We get into some real problems. There was a time when type and anti-type were important in the scripture. That's kind of faded away because people took that too far in an extreme. But, O wondrous type, O vision fair. So Jesus is a type of, in your view, of what we're going to be like.
Right, right.
And
gives us a glimpse. It gives us a glimpse of heaven.
Yes, and he's also a pattern for us. You know, that we are to be imitating Jesus, not in order to get to heaven, because you can't even begin to imitate him until you're already going to heaven. So the way we're going to heaven is by grace through faith. But as that faith grows in us, we can become more and more in our lives as Jesus was in his, in loving the neighbor, this sort of thing. But we got to be really careful. I had a Bible study last night at a men's club. And the whole point I was kind of making is as there's only two religions in the world, and every one of them outside of Christianity is law-oriented.
I would agree.
Yeah, they think this is what you have to do
yourself.
And have you ever considered what the greatest chapter in the Bible is to decimate that doing? It's what I consider to be the greatest law and gospel chapter in the whole Bible. It's Galatians 3.
Okay.
Yeah, because it even says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Uh-huh.
And he says the law cannot be of faith because the law says, do this and you will live. It's just really excellent. If anybody wants to understand
Galatians 3,
Lutheran theology, Galatians 3 is the best chapter to look at. Okay. O wondrous type, we've understood that. O vision fair of glory that the church may share. Now, see, that backs up what you were saying, that the glory that they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what glory was that?
Well, it was the glory of Jesus. He was being transfigured?
Yes. You know what that Greek word for transfigured is? From metamorphosis.
The word transfigure, I was doing a little study yesterday. The word transfigure really comes more from the Latin. It's not...
Yes. A lot of it comes from Jerome's Latin Vulgate.
Yes. And we might better understand the word transform.
Transformed.
Yes.
Except what happens to a caterpillar?
Caterpillar is metamorphosed.
Yes.
Yes.
See, that's a word.
Right. Sure.
So people would understand that. I mean, how can you see that? Little caterpillar goes in a cocoon and comes out with wings.
Beautiful butterfly. I know.
Yeah. That's the symbol of the resurrection.
Right.
Except there's no information in the Bible that we're going to have wings. When I was a kid, I always thought that when I get to heaven, I have wings like angels. Because a lot of people think we become angels.
We'd have to warn everybody.
Oh, boy. There better be speed limit signs. Because I wouldn't fly like a dove.
Watch for the time warps.
Fly like an eagle. Yes. All right. Which Christ upon the mountain shows, were brighter than the sun he glows. Now, I'm not sure I agree with that, because you can't look at the sun.
Okay, right.
But they were looking at Jesus, and they could see how bright he had become.
He was very bright, and his clothing was whiter than any
launder
could make them, right?
Yeah, but I always say he was about 1,000th as bright as he'll be in heaven.
Yeah.
Because remember, in heaven, in Revelation it says,
the beatific vision.
There is no need for the
That's right.
Sun.
He is the light.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say, most scholars will say it doesn't mean there's not going to be a sun. It's just that there's no need for it.
Right.
Brighton says that in his commentary on Revelation.
Am I taking this out of a commentary, or is this right out of Scripture that the Lamb will be the lamp?
The light.
The light.
Yes.
Okay.
That's Revelation.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll be the light of the world. And There was another interesting thing. We were looking at that at a different Bible study yesterday in the morning, but it says there will be no night. So immediately I said, does that mean we can't sleep? And one of
you
the
can do whatever you want to in heaven.
No.
I take that. Yeah, I'm speaking a little bit too quickly.
One lady said, I want to sleep. And I said, well, if there's no sleep in heaven and you go to Jesus and you say, I want to sleep, he'll send you to hell.
Now, there'll be no sinning. There'll be no sinning in heaven.
Yes.
But and other than that.
Well, no pain, no suffering, no death.
Wouldn't you say anything goes other than sin?
You are actually correct when you said in heaven you'll be able to do anything you want because what you want will always be perfect.
Right.
Yes. So I hope I want to have a White Castle cheeseburger. That's going to be really interesting.
Oh, Tom, we've got to broaden your horizons.
Okay. I'll have it with French fries. Although their onion rings are better than their French fries. But be that as it may. Having a hamburger in heaven be interesting since there's no death. And hamburger is meat. So the only thing I can figure out, there are vegetarian hamburgers that taste really like meat. And so if a human being can do it, God can do it. So we'll be able to probably have anything we want. But what will we want? We won't know till we get there. Yes. Stanza 2.
With Moses and Elijah nigh, the incarnate Lord holds converse high. And from the cloud, the Holy One bears record to the only Son.
Okay, what does that last part mean? How does the Holy One bear record?
The Holy
record?
One, that's the voice out of the clouds that bears record.
And who's the voice?
The Most High God.
Who's that?
God the Father.
Okay, and what does he say?
He says, this is my Son. Let's see. And, well, you know, this is my Son. Listen to him.
Yes. He doesn't have that part at the baptism.
No.
This is my beloved Son in
whom
I am
well pleased.
But here he says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really important because how do we listen to Jesus today?
Through his word.
Yes, exactly. And all of the word is the word of Jesus.
The whole counsel of God, right?
Yes. So to be a pastor properly is simply to repeat what Jesus says in the Bible to the people. In fact, this is kind of interesting. In Hebrews, it talks about Moses was a servant, but Jesus is not. In other words, what that means is Moses was obedient to the Father in serving the Father in all things, but Jesus is God himself.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, so there's really quite a difference between the two of them. With Moses and Elijah, it doesn't have it in the hymn. What are they talking about?
They're talking about his departure.
Yes.
And I know what word you're going to bring up. His exodus
right.
that he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem.
Yes.
You know, did you know that Transfiguration Sunday, centuries ago, was in August? August 6th, to be exact.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah. It used to be.
Why?
I think the papacy originally set that date.
Oh.
And the church followed that dating for some time, but it seems much more appropriately placed right before Lent.
Well, in talking to Pastor Whedon, he makes the point that a lot of the celebrations are not chronological,
right?
In accordance to the Scripture, because the Transfiguration obviously occurred prior to Lent,
right? Because Moses and Elijah are talking about his departure. It's really kind of neat.
Yeah.
You when you think about it, that this is his primary goal that he's come to earth to accomplish. And Moses and Elijah are privy to that, and they're talking about, you know, perhaps, I don't know, are they encouraging him? Are they?
Well, actually, it says the three of them were talking about it.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Of course.
So they knew of this from the Old Testament.
But this, yes, of course. But this shows what an all important purpose
yes.
Jesus had in going to the cross. That this is what they're talking about. Most, you know, this is what all the whole church and all of its history, Old Testament and New Testament, is looking forward to.
Yeah, yesterday on the program I was talking about, would Jesus ever tell you to be quiet when you're witnessing about the gospel?
Well, he did that to the demons.
He did to the demons?
He told them to be quiet.
And there were twice, I recall, he didn't tell the gospel to the rich man in Mark 10 or the lawyer in Luke 10, who asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Yes.
There was no gospel in there anywhere. No, that's
right. They weren't ready for it.
No. And that was the point I was making.
Don't throw your pearls before swine.
Yeah, the law has to come precede the gospel, and you don't give the gospel. Because here's the example I used, and you'll understand that with your wife.
No, I heard your example.
Oh, yeah, about
the cheeseburger, right?
And after
I knew it had to be with something about a hamburger.
Yeah. I look at her and say, I forgive you. No, she doesn't jump up and doesn't. Well, let me make you another one. It's probably the last cheeseburger I'll ever eat.
I forgive you. Yeah, you don't say I forgive you. In fact, yeah, you be very careful with I forgive you.
Well, it was said at a convention of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod by Dr. John Teachin after the convention ruled that his teaching was contrary to the Word of God. He got up to the mic and said, I forgive you.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, at the Rivergate, right.
Yeah, watershed of the Rivergate. Yeah, New Orleans, that was really kind of interesting. And, of course, the people who had voted on the basis of Scripture that the teaching of Seminex, like in Elka today, is contrary to the Word of God, those people got real angry.
Because
to forgive someone for something they didn't really do wrong is really ridiculous.
That was a tense convention. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Stanza 3.
With shining face and bright array, Christ deigns to manifest today what glory shall be theirs above, who joy in God with perfect love.
Once more, that's a perfect verse to explain what you were talking about,
the typology. Yes.
Because what glory shall be theirs above.
He's talking about the church.
Yeah. So a lot of times when you're talking to your children about these hymns, and that's why we go over them, because being the hymn of the day is probably going to be sung in most churches, that not only does Scripture interpret Scripture, but stanza interprets stanza.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So you kind of take a look at this. Translation by John Mason Neal, like, for example, in the second verse, he puts the word nigh in order to rhyme with high, but kids may not know what nigh means, which means
near.
Near, yes. So you really do need to explain some of these hymns, but this stanza 3 really indicates what the type means. By the way, in stanza 3, the word for epiphany is found there. You know which one it is?
Let's see. What would that be? The shining face and bright array deigns to manifest.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, manifest himself today.
So this is why this is still part of the epiphany.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, it's the last Sunday.
Right.
Did you know that Lent starts next week?
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Stanza 4.
And faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's mystery, for which in joyful strains we raise the voice of prayer, the hymn of praise.
So this is really important for the Transfiguration. I've got a question that I'm going to be beginning my sermon on. I'm not going to bring it up now because everybody will know the answer if they're listening. But faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's mystery. Now, what was the word Jerome used for mystery?
Sacramentum.
Yes, very good. And therefore, notice our joyful strains come up after we hear the gospel, not before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the gospel that gives us the motivation to praise God properly. And then the last stanza?
And this is a doxological verse. We stand for it. It's got a little triangle before the last verse. O Father, with the eternal Son and Holy Spirit ever one, we pray thee, bring us by thy grace to see thy glory face to face.
This answers our question I asked you last week. Did the Son, Jesus, become the Son at his incarnation or before?
He was always the Son, God the Son, eternally begotten.
What's the first line say?
And Father with the eternal Son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's eternally begotten.
Already has that there. And Holy Spirit ever one. Now, that's something many Jews still can't understand, how you have three persons but still one God. See, they're so focused on the fact that there's just one God, it's difficult for them to understand that there are three distinct persons with... Why do we call them persons? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body, nor does the Father. But we call them persons because they have personalities.
That's right. Yeah.
So even angels are persons.
Yes.
Gabriel and Michael are persons.
Right.
So,
and human beings are persons.
Well, particularly human beings. In fact, normally most Christians, when you ask, when God created the world, he created persons. Who was that? They will always say Adam and Eve. And they'll forget about the angels. They won't mention the word angels. But the angels have personalities. We know of two of them who are named. Or actually three, but Gabriel, Michael.
You always get me on this one. Apollyon is the angel of the bottomless pit.
Or Beelzebub,
right.
Or the devil.
The devil
or
was, Satan. He was an evil angel.
Or Lucifer.
Lucifer. He was Lucifer before he fell.
Yes. So, now that's interesting. He was Lucifer before he fell?
Yes. See, which I think Lucifer means bright morning star. So he was quite a beautiful angel, I guess.
Oh my!
I mean, I
I haven't seen him, but I'll believe what you say. What was that at night and sometimes?
You haven't seen him, huh?
No. Yeah, the ones I see are artistic renderings with horns and a pitchfork, which you kind of could figure out is not the most beautiful angel there. So we have a Trinitarian verse. We pray thee bring us by thy grace. Now, so many people misunderstand the word grace. They think it's kind of a power source that God gives us. In fact, in Roman Catholic theology, we talk about infused grace. That's a gift God gives you so that you can begin to do good works, so he finally recognizes you as appropriate, rewards you, this sort of thing. And, of course, we don't mean that.
Let's see. There's an acronym for grace. Is it a gift at God's...
God's
at
riches.
Christ's, at God's at, riches at Christ's expense.
Yes. That's right? Let's call it an acronym. First letter of each word. That's pretty good. God's riches at Christ's expense. We got all kinds of acronyms. What's SOS? Under the law.
Yeah. Shows us our sins.
Very good.
I was going to say save our ship.
No, that's the gospel. which is show our Savior.
Yes.
So, we get right back to what we wanted. No, I was surprised that you knew what type meant because I didn't. I had to look it up. And
well, there's a lot of types.
Oh my!
The
yes.
type of the just as the serpent was raised on a pole by Moses.
That's
Jesus on the cross.
And where are you preaching this week?
Yeah, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out here in Crestwood, and of course we have a Saturday night service at 5 p.m. and Sunday service. And, of course, it is Transfiguration Sunday at 9 a.m. Prince of Peace, 8646 New Sappington Road.
And tonight I will be at Hope High Ridge, and we're going to be doing our last study there prior to Lent. We're going to be taking a look at a very interesting, what you call the Good Samaritan. Hope High Ridge tonight, 7 o'clock. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.